Welcome to episode 61 of CMBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. Tonight we're going to drink a number of IPAs or double IPAs from all from Vermont, all of them?
This time they're actually from Vermont.
Yes, it's the real Vermont episode.
And they are super fresh.
All right, what's up first?
So first we have Sip of Sunshine from Lawson's Finest Liquids. You ready for the great sound? Oh, what a delicious sound.
Keep cold and enjoy fresh.
Pale golden?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell in this room with all the yellow.
I got a big fluffy head.
A nice frothy white head. Sticking to the sides.
Oh.
How's that for fruity, right?
Yeah. With a little bit of that kind of resiny pine resin.
There's a subtle pine in there.
Yep. Oh, that's a IPA smell. That's delicious, super hopped up IPA.
It smells like lemon, some grass. It's such a subtle flavor.
It is. I mean, you get the bitterness. A little bit of, astringency, would you say?
Astringency.
Kind of drying out your mouth a little bit.
But it has that, I don't know, I get grass.
Yeah. So this is Sip of Sunshine from Lawson's Finest Liquids. Right now, number 17 on Beer Advocate's top 250 beers.
And from what I understand, there's a guy that goes around and to Lawson's farm. It's not like highly distributed and cans it. He's like a canner.
A mobile canner.
I've heard about this. He'll just drive around and so he goes, and when a batch is done, he'll can it, and then they distribute it in small batches.
Yeah, they have either large trucks or even trailers that they'll pull up to breweries that don't have their own canning lines and basically can the beers for them and move on, and then come to another brewery and then come back when there's a whole business around that, and there's different people that do it in the Pacific Northwest and the Northeast and other parts of the country.
I mean, for sure, Vermont, that's a highly sought after skill. But one of the things, like, because of all the beer trading and eBay and reselling and all the hype around craft beer, they're really protective about the amounts of beer that you can purchase. So they limit purchases to, cases or sometimes even four packs. And because they're staying small, like the scarcity, within the day of availability, they're gone.
Yeah. So we mentioned Beer Advocate. We've mentioned it on the show before. I'm sure a lot of our listeners already know about it. Beer Advocate's basically a social networking site for beer lovers, and they have the famous kind of top 250 beers as rated by the social network on Beer Advocate. And right now, this beer that we're drinking is number 17. We talked about Heady Topper being at the top of the list. Right now, Heady Topper is number 5. A number of the other beers we've had on the show, Pliny is on the list, Pliny the Younger and Pliny the Elder from Russian River. There's a couple from Maine Beer Company. Dinner is on there. There's a couple from Founders Brewing Company, like Kentucky Breakfast Stout is number 15. There's another one from The Alchemist.
Focal Banger,
which you just had.
I just had some of that.
What were your thoughts on that one? I haven't had that one before.
Focal Banger is a little bit more of that Pacific Northwest type IPA. It's their single IPA. It's got a little bit more bitterness and dank to it. Still really good. But it doesn't have that smooth, mellow finish that Heady Topper has. But what do you think about this one as it warms up?
It's good. I like it. It's nice double IPA.
You getting any of the sunshine? Do you taste the
sunshine? I mean, I love the smell. And sometimes that's the case with an IPA. You'll the smell kind of overwhelms at the beginning, and then the taste doesn't always quite
match. Are you saying it's not living up to your expectations?
No, it's just it tastes similar to other IPAs I've had, but it smells very good. much better than most the kind of standard IPA.
Yeah, it definitely has an excellent, like, fruity tropical bouquet.
But it's well balanced too. It's not coming off overly malty or overly hoppy.
No, I do. It's like a little citrus, and there's that grassy, earthy subtlety to it.
Yep.
It's like drinking summer.
Most of the beers on the Beer Advocate top list are kind of the extreme beer. So Imperial IPAs, ton of Imperial IPAs, ton of Imperial Stouts. That's what dominates the list. There's a quad on there. West Flitteron 12 at one point was the number one beer. Now they're down to number 8, but dominated by IPAs, double IPAs, Imperial IPAs.
And all of them are like super hard and super rare.
Yeah, that I think is probably one of the factors that drives up the popularity is how difficult it is to get the beer. Because I think that figures into people's enjoyment somehow, you know?
Yeah, I agree. That like part of the enjoyment is the quest.
Or the rarity. Like for us, getting Heady Topper is a very rare thing. So yes. When we can get it, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it taste even better.
And even having a couple this weekend, or this, yeah, well, I still enjoy Heady Topper. But we were at a bar, $5 a can. I was like, how am I drinking anything else? I was like, oh, here's why. I think so did I send you that beer list? Did I post it?
Yeah, you posted it on...
I was well into that beer list when I may have posted that, so I don't quite recall it.
You can find it on our Facebook page.
But we tried, somebody in our party, we tried every beer on that list, so we sampled. So I at least had a sip of every one of those beers. And then a can of Heady to finish it off.
Did you, you brought back some Heady Topper. Did you go to the store to get that, or was that already... collected for you?
It was collected ahead of time because Heady distribution is on Thursdays. Okay. In their neck of the woods, and wouldn't have been around by Friday. However, I got a text yesterday from my friend Mike up there in Vermont, and he was like, oh, I understood the co-op had some through the weekend. It's like I managed the last 3 weekends, but I didn't get there till Sunday. Oh. It was already gone, but that's where I got the rest of the beers.
Anything else from that trip you want to talk about?
Oh, I'm going to keep talking about it throughout the whole episode. I was thinking about that. How about you for recent beer experiences?
I actually just came back from London.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. How are the craft beers in London?
So I didn't get, you know, I saw a conference room and I saw a hotel room and not too much aside from that.
Really?
But
what a terrible way to have to travel across the ocean.
I did make it out to a pub in the... I was kind of out in the suburbs of London, the western suburbs, the little
West End area girl.
Called Hammersmith. And I made it out to the Swan, which was a nice little pub out there, kind of what you would picture of as a traditional English pub. And they had 20, 25, maybe a good hand-pumped English... real ale, so it was great.
And it wasn't conglomerate. It wasn't.
I mean, as far as I know, I had never heard of any of them. They may be kind of chains inside of London, but or inside of England, but they were not big beer. Like it wasn't Fuller's and those kind of big names. It was all names I hadn't heard of,
warm?
Interesting and different, and cellar temperature.
Yeah.
And the food there is just awful. But the beers were good.
Yeah. Every time, now when people mention British pub, two things pop to my mind. Shaun of the Dead and The World's End.
Yeah.
And both of those are Simon Pegg classics. But I like London, but I was there 20-some years ago, so I'm sure it's changed significantly since then.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so no other beers besides
didn't
that?
Didn't make it outside of that 3-block radius other than, you know, going to the office, to the conference room all day and going back to the hotel. And, you know, the pub, went there a couple nights to that same place.
Oh, good.
Got dinner there once and just little restaurants around there. got a, you know, a pulled pint of Guinness in the hotel bar. And
how was that?
That was tasty.
It's better, right?
That went down. It was like milk. You know, yeah. I was drinking milk.
Yeah, it's totally. And the head on it is so thick, you could float like a British pound on it. It
went down in like 3 seconds. And yeah, then the tube to the airport.
So, did you order an Irish car bomb when you were there? Because no. I heard that that's not very well accepted in London. They don't like people ordering that type of drink. No. That's awesome. Any final thoughts on this one?
It's great. I loved it.
It's great.
It smells. I love the smell a little bit more than the taste, but it's also tastes great.
Well, here, keep the can then. It'll maintain the smell for a while.
All right, let's see if it says anything on the can.
We should read up about the brewery.
While Mike grabs the next one. Lawson's Finest Liquids is a small artisanal brewery located in Warren, Vermont, producing an array of hop-forward ales, especially maple beers and unique creations. Sip of Sunshine IPA is brewed by Lawson's Finest Liquids at Two Roads Brewing Company in Stratford, Connecticut. One of the ones that they brew off-site. This lupulin laden, that's the, in the hop cone, that's the little pieces of stuff that actually bring the
lupins from that Dennis Moore sketch from Monty Python. Dennis Moore, riding through the, you know what I'm talking about? No idea. He would rob people for their lupins.
No, it's not that.
No? Okay.
I thought lupins, isn't that like werewolves or something?
Well, that was Mr. Lupin from Harry Potter, yeah. Okay.
This India Pale Ale is packed with juicy tropical fruit character, bright floral aromas, and delectable layers of hop flavor. I would agree with that. There are layers of hops in there.
So wait a minute. This is from Stratford, Connecticut?
Pour mindfully, inhale deeply, and enjoy a tropical vacation in a glass. Always store cold, enjoy fresh and cool. So Lawson's Finest Liquid is very small brewing location, and a couple of their more popular, more widely distributed beers, and we had one on a previous episode, right? Are canned out of state and at a a contract brewing. So it's by them.
But I thought it's brewed by them. I thought this was canned by the guy in the truck. Maybe they've gone beyond now.
Well, it still could be the guy in the truck that goes to that brewery.
But maybe it's not Sip of Sunshine, then, if it's one's in it. Well, false advertising, man!
What was the other Lawson's? Didn't we have a Lawson's the other week? I don't remember.
It's part of New England.
Yeah. Didn't we have a... like? Why can't I remember, like...
Because our minds are IPA-soaked.
Let's see.
Let's use this fancy thing called the internet, the interwebs.
Look it up as we speak, but I can't.
This is a good place for an edit. So, oh yeah, we did Super Session number 2 Ale, Lawson's Finest Liquids.
There we go.
Look at that.
What episode was that on?
That was the latest episode, 56, recently published.
Well, as of recording this episode.
Yeah. So 5 episodes ago, yes, we had it.
That's right.
Good memory. That was a Stratford, Connecticut.
I remember the that same anecdote that it wasn't actually brewed on their Vermont site. All right, we got something else. Let me finish this guy off.
Oh my gosh, I'm allergic to hops.
Uh-oh. Show's over, guys.
All right.
What's next?
Frost Beer Works from Hinesburg, Vermont. Spicy Farmhouse Rye IPA Limited Release.
Ooh, I love 75 IBU. I hear limited released and IPA.
Yeah, combined.
Same sentence.
Rinse are good.
I'm good.
All right.
Just, you know, pour enough in there that it...
Oh, look at that color.
That's good. That's a lot.
We're going to be in trouble.
Oh, I should mention, yeah, these are going to be mostly double IPAs. The last one was 8%. This one is what?
7.5%.
7.5%. So this is a farmhouse rye IPA. I thought we'd drink this next to make sure our palates aren't totally wrecked from IPAs so we can possibly taste some of the rye flavor.
Right. And the color on this is a very rich amber.
Yeah, this is a lot
and darker. And it's clear. It's very clear.
Yeah, it's not looks cloudy like it's at all. Probably filtered. Nice puffy head on mine with tiny little bubbles.
Not getting a big aroma. Not like the last one.
Not like the last one. It's maybe a little bit sweeter.
Oh my gosh, it smells like candy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But it seems to be fading more quickly. Or my nose is fading.
Oh, wow, yeah, as you rub that. Oh, my gosh, that's like a, like Skittles.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm curious. I want to taste this.
Whoa.
Wow.
Is that the right? That's a different flavor. That's not like a standard IPA flavor.
That's not an IPA at all. That's like Belgian without the yeast.
Yeah, kind of gets a Belgian a character to it.
Right, but without that funk, though, it's like maybe the rye gives it that pepper. Rye,
yeah, I mean that's what often rye is described as, a peppery note, and they must put a ton of rye in this because it's coming across big time. A lot of times you can barely taste the rye from a beer.
Yeah, that's really good.
But it's they really say sweet. Spicy farmhouse. So I wonder if they have anything else other than rye in there. It is very sweet.
I am pulling up the marketing material as we speak. 6 minutes
of prep.
But so this one was recommended. So when I mentioned where I got the beer, you not knowingly acknowledged it. In the state capital, Vermont, Montpelier, there is a wonderful store called...
Beautiful little town, right nestled amongst the mountains there.
The green.
Of the mountains.
Yeah.
Smallest, what is the smallest capital?
In the states.
I mean, it's a capital smaller than, you know, the little towns, suburban towns that we live in.
Yeah.
Outside of Washington, D.C.
It is... excuse me. It's very small, but the co-op there is called Lost or Hunger Mountain Co-op, and they have an excellent cheese selection, and also some beers. And on the way heading south and home, we swung in there, and I stocked up with $1 million worth of beer.
Yeah, I had stopped by that same place when we were up in Vermont in Burlington. Spent a long weekend there a few years back, and they didn't have Hetty Tomper.
What day did you go?
The wrong day, apparently. So population of, what? How do you say that? Montpelier?
Montpelier.
7,700. The largest city in Vermont is Burlington with 42,000 people, which is smaller than Rockville.
Yes.
The little suburb that I live in.
I believe the entire state of Vermont is smaller than Rockville.
628K in all of Vermont.
Yeah.
And that's less than the D.C. metro area. Oh, way yeah. less.
I'm telling you, like Rockville and the surrounding area, like we have 1.3 million in Montgomery County?
I don't know, maybe. Yeah, Rockville's like 50K now.
Yeah.
Rockville city limits.
So it's probably not close to 600K like I just said. Hmm. So why is it not telling me about their beers?
The flavor on this is really interesting. I'm having a little bit. I'm struggling a little bit though, drinking a lot of it.
Why?
Because that the flavor, it's a little bit off-putting. I mean, it's unique and different, but it's a little off-putting for me.
Like it's too sweet?
No, not the sweetness. The whatever that rye, the spicy characteristic.
Really? Was it?
Would you see yourself drinking a bunch of these?
Yes.
Really?
Oh yeah, because I like that mix of sweet with a little bit of bitter.
There's some other. I feel like I want to describe this. Some other terminology, that flavor, other than spicy.
Let me read the bio. A lively, full-flavored ale with spicy character resulting from the confluence of malted rye, somewhat esoteric hops, and the farmhouse characteristics of Vermont ale yeast. So maybe it is the yeast. Lemon and lime aromas and dill and black pepper flavors lead into a lasting spicy complexity. Is it the dill you're tasting? I don't get dill.
Dill? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Did they wait? Did they say they had dill in it, or that was just a flavor?
They said that's a flavor. I don't think there's dill in it.
I could get that. I could that. Yeah. A little dill weed.
I'm not getting the lemon and lime though.
I'm already feeling the effects of the alcohol from these beers a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, that's why I would drink a lot of these, because they're gonna kick you. But it doesn't, like you know how the IPAs, even the Sip of Sunshine, which was a little bit mellow, had that astringency, had that bitter bite. This one has a really mild bite. It's more of the front end pepper.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting that tail end bitter.
I agree. It comes in right at the beginning. Right? As soon as you put it in your mouth, you're catching that.
Yep. But I really like it. It's pretty good.
Very unique, very different. I haven't had anything with quite this flavor before.
It is definitely different.
See that bottle?
Yes, sir. And the thing about some of the selections, you know, and why we're doing this on a school night is some of these beers need to be drank fresh.
Yeah, IPAs in general, you want to drink them quickly. Double IPAs, maybe you can age them a little bit longer, but to get that full hoppy aroma and flavor, you really want to drink an IPA quickly. Now, a barley wine, and there are barley wines that are very heavily hopped. Sometimes if you drink them fresh, it's just too much hop. And it's actually good to let them mellow a little bit for a year or so, and then you get a little bit milder hoppiness from them.
Well, that's good, because I've had these barley wines for an episode for going on a year now.
So we've been trying to put together a barley wine episode, but haven't reached the mass to do one. We haven't had enough barley wines. Do we have four now?
I've got four.
Okay, so we're ready to do it, but maybe not on a school night.
No. I pulled one from Cincinnati. So, like, you know, talking about recent beer events and the fact that we've been doing so well with our podcasting lately, that we have so many in the can that...
Every week?
The time shift is out now. But in the last... Well, within 9 days, I was in 9 different states. Or more, actually. I have to count them again. But I have a haul of non-IPA, because I knew we wouldn't be able to drink them, beers from Cincinnati. And I know we just did a Kentucky episode, but apparently we didn't get the really good beers from Kentucky. So I grabbed some other beers from Kentucky that were available in Ohio. And I'm looking forward to that. But I'm very upset, because just yesterday an article was published about the craft beer lover's guide to Cincinnati. Two weeks after I was there, so I'll have to go back to Cincinnati and try it out. Although I did try some of the beers they mentioned in there, like Mad Tree and Rheingeist. So shall we go on to Listomania?
Yeah, let's continue.
Or do the you list. Want to do an article?
Let's continue the list, and then we'll get to this article I have that might bring us down a little bit.
Oh, okay. And then we'll let the beer settle on us. So, from our 100 craft beers that you have to drink, we left off with number 59, which is Urban Chestnuts Schnickelfritz, which is a word that I use a lot now that I have children, in place of other curses. It's from Urban Chestnut Brewing in St. Louis, Missouri.
Haven't heard of that one.
Nope. Sometimes about just doing an old school style beer better than any of your competitors. It's a Hefeweizen and a spectacular one. No off flavors, clean citrus presence. And there's a reason St. Louis breweries sell so much of this stuff. In fact, it can be purchased at a place like Busch Stadium as a statement of how far the craft beer movement has come. How interesting. All right, number 58. Capital Autumnal Fire Doppelbock. This looks like Washington, D.C., but it's not.
It's a different capital.
It's Capital Brewery from Middleton, Wisconsin.
No. It was always confusing. We live in the capital of the free world, Washington, right. D.C.
We're the only real capital.
And there's, you know, Richmond has their Capital Brewing, Richmond, Virginia. And it's This will fit.
Capital estate does not qualify for a capital.
No. Veto.
There's a lot fewer breweries in the U.S. making great German-style beer than there are making great American-style. Wisconsin's Capital Brewery is a notable exception. All their lagers and German-style brews have always been outstanding. For cripe's sake, there's a brewery that makes half a dozen different Doppelbocks. They make six different Doppelbocks. Yeah, so this one has a rich malt backbone, rounded flavors, caramel, and toffee. Full Steam Carver. Malt beverage brewed with sweet potatoes. Full Steam Brewery, Durham, North Carolina. Carver deserves your attention. First, because it's a supremely crisp and drinkable lager. And second, because there are 200 pounds of local sweet potatoes in there. But none of the sweet potato pie spice you might expect. It's earthy. Full Steam is pushing the envelope of sourcing locally. They have a forager series where customers bring in fruit or small batches of beer. With an impressive plow-to-pint philosophy, and Carver is one of the best manifestations of this philosophy. We may have to talk to our North Carolina connection to get us some of this Carver.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting. Number 56, Green Flash Hop Head Red.
Okay. I've heard of Green Flash.
Green Flash is all that needs to be said. I'm sure it's an excellent beer. Oh, number 55. We've got to go here just for fun. The wives can go to Wine Country while we go to Russian River.
Oh, yeah.
Russian River Blind Pig IPA. Prior to drinking this beer, it seemed like every bar I had visited had an owner or bartender that raved about this IPA.
I've had that beer. At Stone Brewery, I had that beer.
At Stone Brewery?
Stone Brewery. They have their beers, obviously, but they have a cafe and restaurant, that, and they have other beers from the area.
And how was it?
It was delicious.
So Blind, was it worth all the hype?
You know, I was with like 7 or 8 beers in by then.
Blind Pig IPA became my unicorn beer for at least 2 years until I finally wrapped my hand around a pint of it at Monk's Cafe in Philadelphia. I could feel the hops in my teeth. In my teeth, how Russian River is able to infiltrate every drop of liquid with such bold hoppiness, yet still offer a sweet caramel and malty back end is mind-boggling. Where is this Monk's Cafe, and perhaps we should go?
Yeah,
Philadelphia is a lot easier to get to than Santa Rosa.
That's true.
Oh, I saw a bunch of this beer and I almost grabbed it, but because it was in Chicago, I didn't get it. I need to get a list. Revolution Antihero IPA.
Huh.
Great IPAs are pretty much a dime a dozen these days, so when one comes along that really makes you take notice, it's always a great feeling. First taste of Revolution's Antihero is one of those experiences with the rust of citric hops and morph into other flavors, the pine of a classic West Coast. It's a great example of a Midwestern IPA that in between ground where styles mix and merge. Number 53, Bell's Hop Slam from Bell's Brewery.
Yep. That's distributed widely.
And this is one of the beers that I believe I have for us from my Ohio visit is Great Lakes Edmund Fitzgerald Porter.
Yeah, I've had that one before.
Great access to fresh Edmund Fitzgerald might very well be... Oh, fresh? Damn it. Well, now it's not fresh anymore. Perhaps a definitive American robust porter. It has absolutely everything you're looking for. And number 51, Jolly Pumpkin La Roja from Dexter, Michigan.
Jolly Pumpkin, known for barrel aging all of their beers, or a lot of their beers.
There you go. La Roja is an amber with the caramel notes you expect, but a sour fruitiness that comes from being stuck in oak barrels.
Yeah.
For several months. And number 50, to round out our top 10 for tonight, Topping Goliath Pseudo Sue.
Topping Goliath is one of those breweries, if you look at the top 20 on Beer Advocate, they have 3 or 4 in there.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Perhaps we have to go to Decorah, Iowa.
Yeah.
Pseudo Sue, named after the largest dinosaur fossil ever found, is a single hop beer allowing you to explore the nuances of Citra. But don't expect an overly bitter or hoppy brew. Pale ales are typically understated, noted for their balance and drinkability. And Pseudo Sue is one of the best examples of the style you can find.
All right. Shall you grab us another beer?
I shall grab you another beer.
I drank all mine, so I don't have any final comments. Did you hear anything about this brewery, Frost Beer Works, where their spicy farmhouse rye IPA?
I heard... that these guys pull out excellent beer. Should we read about their brewery?
Maybe we should a little bit. We've talked about Lawson's before, so let's see what these guys are all about by visiting their... Oh, no, their homepage is a Facebook page.
Yeah.
That's as bad as CNBC. Right? Oh, no, it isn't. Never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, it's a Facebook page, man.
Is it? About. There is not too much about them on their page. We are a very small scale, 7-barrel brewery located in Hinesburg, Vermont. Stop in for tasters in 22-ounce barrel bottles. The beers they had listed were Really Pale Ale, Just Pale Ale, another IPA, and more IIPA.
So, I'm wondering if I'm confused because the picture
super
on...
super small.
The picture on their site has a picture of this.
What?
Which is the Foley Brothers Brewing, Brandon, Vermont. Look, did you see that?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even
so
know
our that. Next beer, for those of you still listening to this rambling talk, is...
Might edit some of this.
Foley Brothers Brewing, Prospect, an Imperial India Pale Ale. And that is what is coming on the front page of the Frost Beer Works, as we're trying to read about Frost Beer Works. So perhaps after we do some additional research and edit it back in, we'll find out there's some connection between Frost Beer Works and the Foley Brothers. So you
but
guys,
the,
just hold
the,
on here.
If you go to the Frost Beer Works website and you look at the photos they have, you can see how small of a brewery this is. I mean, it is tiny, like brew vats that are basically a little bit larger than a person, not larger than a house where you would that you would see in like Stone or some of the larger craft breweries.
Like they're brewing a keg at a time.
Yeah, a little more than a keg at a time.
So final thoughts on this. It's a really interesting flavor. Even as it warms up, the sweetness starts to come out to the front more, and the pepperiness starts to fade. But I really, really like this beer. The nice, it's an excellent, well-balanced beverage. And for such a small brewery, it's interesting that they would filter their beer so much. Final thoughts on Frost?
I don't know. I drank mine a while ago, and it had that very unique flavor to it.
All right. Ready for our next beer?
I'm ready. What's the next one again?
So the next beer is a... brewed with a ridiculous amounts of hops and barley, grown in Vermont and Maine. Drink this beer fresh. It's unfiltered.
Mmm.
So this was... does it have the date when it was bottled?
So it'll be interesting to see the...
bottled on 10/14/15.
That is 1 week ago from today.
1 week ago from today in Brandon, Vermont. Highly recommended as the up-and-comers in Vermont. Foley Brothers Brewing, Prospect, Imperial India Pale Ale.
All right, I'm so amped.
Are you properly jazzed?
Beer that I can't barely control myself. I'm sure you can hear that in my voice.
Well, for you, that's highly excited.
All right, that's plenty. Holy mackerel.
I may have over-poured you, sir.
So, for being unfiltered, it's actually pretty clear, but there's definitely some more cloudiness to it than the previous beer. It's a little bit lighter in color. Mine is darkening at the top, or is that just a shadow from the head? Kind of a big bubbled head. Ooh, I can smell it from over here.
Woo!
Oh.
Oh, that's dang. It starts off with a like light, like perfumey flowers, and then it gets into like super dank.
The smell of some of these IPAs is just the aroma. I just want to make a pillow out of this aroma and sleep on
it. And
this.
Sleep on it. Just embrace yourself, like a big snuggly of hops aroma.
Yeah, I'll just replace my wife with an aroma pillow, a hop aroma pillow. That smells delicious. Let's go taste.
It's cloudy, orange, golden. nutty? What is that?
I get the bitterness.
Really?
Yeah. At the end.
All right. I'm
it's
going...
not an immediate hit.
For no, me. Yeah, it comes at the end, but it starts off. It's like light. I'm not.
It
getting...
tastes really smooth to me at the it, beginning, like it's... a very or. All right, so we're back. We Mike and I both just tried to clear our palate. We ate some saltines. We drank water.
We had some sorbet, some champagne sorbet.
Right, we did all the things to kind of scrub our palate. We ate some grapes.
Concord grapes.
And then we're going to take another pass at Foley's Prospect. What is it called again? Foley?
Foley Brothers Brewing Prospect.
All right. I'm ready.
It's getting a little more complex in the bouquet.
Same great smell.
Well, or maybe I can just smell better now that I've sneezed again.
Much like my shirt, this is fantastic.
This is like a really mellow...
Yeah, it is mellow.
And it's got a little bit of the grass, a little bit of the...
Sometimes when you take a whiff of a big IPA like this, like the first beer that we had, which had tremendous stuff on the nose, it'll have a very strong, almost overwhelming flavor, not in a bad way, in a good way. This doesn't have that overwhelming flavor. It's very nicely balanced, very smooth, very easy. I could drink several of these and I would be on the floor because of the alcohol percentage. What is the alcohol percentage on this one? Is this the 9%er?
Give me one moment to put on my reading peepers.
It's a good
9% by volume.
Yeah.
No joke on these. We've had like 16 glasses of wine.
Yeah.
So, going to the site to check out about the Foley Brothers, they were described to me, the up-and-comers, not so heard of, but soon to be heard of a lot. As we try to find material on them, we get redirected to Facebook pages.
Not too much about them, but hey, they make good beers. They look like a very small brewery as well. Just like Frost, or the last one was Frost something.
Yes, Frost Beer Works.
So Mike, I have an article to read a little bit about. I mentioned it.
Is it going to fill me with joy?
Our beer was created October 14th, and that's a week ago from today, which is October 21st. That means what holiday is coming up that kids and adults alike love?
It's All Halloween. Hallows Eve.
That's right, it's Halloween, Mike. So, on craft beer and brewing website, beerandbrewing.com, there's an article about beer pairings for Halloween candy, updated for 2015. So, what we have here is a candy. Specific candy, and the beer that goes with the beer style that goes with that candy, as well as several examples. So, starting out, M&M's, barrel-aged beers, Avery Brothers Rumpkin, Brothers Craft Brewing from Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Oh, that's where your wife went.
Rum Barrel Belgian Double Style Ale, Ballast Point Brewing Company. Nope. Rum Barrel, Aged Sea Monster Imperial Stout. Wow, these sounded interesting. And one from Cigar City, also in the Beer Advocate.
Is it the same one?
Yep.
The Double Barrel Stout.
Hunapua Imperial Stout. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, one of my favorite candies. Cream Ales.
Oh.
Starbursts goes with one of my favorite beer styles, Saison, including one we've had before in the store, on the show.
Store show.
So
these store. Heavy alcohol IPAs are...
I'll get to IPAs. So Hershey's Dark Chocolate Kisses goes with raspberry ales. A little sweet to offset that bitterness from the chocolate, I guess.
That sounds really good.
Butterfinger Bars with a Bock.
Ooh, so I would like that mix.
Maybe Trogues Troganator with a Butterfinger.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'd enjoy that. Hot Tamales, Mike. But we'll go with hot tamales.
Hot tamales. What would we go with hot tamales?
Traditionally, you know, Mexican
these food. These type of things swinging around? No?
They'll say Mexican food, Indian food goes good with an IPA.
Oh, right. So, the spice.
Spice of hot tamale with a nice IPA. Maybe Old Brewing Company from Fort Collins, Colorado's Pearl White IPA. Maybe Three Flowers IPA from Marin Brewing Company. Or Elevated IPA from La Cumbra Brewing Company in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Or what about Prospect Imperial India Pale Ale from...
Do you have any hot tamales on you? No.
You know, we did have some Red Hots. Are those the same?
Close.
What about Fireballs?
Mike, what is the candy that you eat at Halloween and never... Nowhere outside of Halloween?
Mary Jane's.
No.
Try
again. Triangle...
Shaped. Oh, candy corns.
Candy corns. Boom. Candy corns with light lagers. So get your Budweiser. All right. Hershey's milk chocolate bars with a milk stout. I could see that. Caramel apple suckers. What is that? Is that a candy?
Mary Jane's.
With a cider.
I think that's what Mary Jane's are.
And
caramel.
And finally, Pop Rocks with a funky sour beer.
Well, that would kill you. That'll kill you. That's like Pop Rocks and soda. You can't do that. That's illegal. That's what killed Mikey from life. Remember that?
Yes. So, again, that's Craft Beer and Brewing.
Look it up, kids. Mikey from life died from mixing Pepsi with Pop Rocks.
And I believe I linked this article on our Facebook site as well, so you can look that up.
Happy Halloween.
And this, while this episode will be
Silver Shamrock
published after Halloween, you may have leftover candy, if not, raid your kids.
And you know what's going to be great? Is when we finally get to all the Oktoberfest and pumpkin beers that I have stocked away, it'll be sometime after Christmas. Hopefully those age well. So any final thoughts on Prospect?
It's a delicious double IPA. I don't know what more to say.
The big question is, I
can feel that my palate is getting...
Shredded?
Wrecked. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. One of those IPAs on that list of must drinks was called Palate Wrecker.
Yeah.
And I can understand why. So I guess the big question is, do we go for a fourth and the fresh, or do we save?
I wonder if on future episodes we should tail off the episode with an IPA. Just to do like a different style and then end with an IPA. Just to see if that changes our perception of an IPA.
Because
I feel after we do IPA after IPA after IPA, we may be losing a bit of the complexity of the flavors.
Right.
I don't know.
We've overstimulated the...
I'm drunk already too, which is a problem.
Final thoughts on Prospect.
All right, let me...
What are your prospects? Let me
drink another...
Fantastic Four.
A little bit of water. I'm Mr. Fantastic, by the way.
Oh, so you can stretch in any shape.
Refer to me as that.
All right, Mr. Fantastic.
You
want to
see me stretch?
I must...
Open your mouth.
So the high alcohol is kicking in. Enjoy.
All right. Let's see.
So, wrap up with the beers tonight,
okay.
Chris.
So, tonight we had... Lawson's Finest Sip of Sunshine IPA. We also had Frost Beer Works Spicy Farmhouse Rye IPA. And Foley Brothers Brewing Prospect Imperial India Pale Ale.
That was 3 liters of delicious goodness, which means we each had a liter and a half of beer.
Mike, which was your favorite of the three?
That's a hard man. This is like Sophie's Choice. Which of my 3 children do I pick as the best? I gotta go with the Sip of Sunshine. It had a great bouquet, a wonderful flavor, and a nice complexity. Also, it was the first one, probably destroyed my palate for the other two.
Right. I'm going to go with Foley Brothers Prospect. The Frost Beer Works was very interesting, different flavor to it. The spicy farmhouse rye IPA. But yeah. I'm going to go with Prospect, and maybe it's because my palate's been beaten down and this is feeling a little more mellow now.
Yeah, that could be it. I mean, the Frost is a strong, strong second.
All these beers delicious, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're not a clunker in the bunch.
Nope. All right.
Well, thanks for listening to CNBC episode 61. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or get the podcast directly from our host at cnbcpodcast.podomatic.com.
You can email us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cnbcpodcast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cnbcpodcast. You can also see our video episodes on YouTube, youtube.com/cnbcpodcast. I'm constantly putting videos up there. There's maybe not one with every episode we do, but every other, every third, sometimes two for an episode.
And we're about to do another one.
We are, and I have at least one in the can. So,
speaking of cans, that's what our last beer will be. So, a fine beer may be judged with only one sip, but it is better to be thoroughly sure. Czech proverb.
Drink good beer.
Drink good beer.
Cheers. They're just Vermont people and they're all friends and stuff. A confusing morning week. Impair my tribal lunar speak. And of course you can't be. Oh, we have 50 minutes and we only drank 3 beers. I missed a million miles of fun.